This lesson is from the course, The Theology of Heaven in the Book of Hebrews, taught by Dr. Lane Tipton.
Let us now consider Jesus Christ as the prodromos, the forerunner, as high priest in light of Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. Quote, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The author here speaks in religious terms of a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. And that is precisely where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on behalf of the church, a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. What stands out here is that the author speaks of the outcome of Jesus' ascension into heaven, the point of Hebrews 8:1, and its bearing on the religious hope of the church. And what stands out further is that Jesus' ascension into heaven has a representative dimension intrinsic to it. It is an event that has direct redemptive significance and secures certain religious hope for the church in union with Christ. Gerhardus Voss, in the shorter writings, makes this comment. He says the word prodromos in 6:20, translated forerunner, so shares with aparche, translated first fruits, the reference to identification in experience. The forerunner being one who not merely leads and opens access, but also anticipates in himself the enjoyment of the access he mediates to others. End of quote. Now, Voss points out that both in the resurrection of Jesus as first fruits, aparche, and in the ascension of Jesus as forerunner, prodromos, we find a representative feature that includes the believer with Christ as raised and ascended. The term first fruits carries a thesis. The resurrection of Jesus is the first in one great resurrection harvest that will occur at the end of this age. Paul says that Jesus has been raised, quote, as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15:20. And then he immediately amplifies that truth in terms of a comparison and contrast to Adam in his sin and death. For as by a man came death, Adam, by a man has come the resurrection from the dead, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. And that all is qualified in this way, each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to him. It's not universalism being taught. It's the pleroma of the elect, all who belong to him. And the point is quite clear. Just as Adam's death was representative and solidaric, so Jesus' resurrection is representative and solidaric. When Jesus comes in power and glory, those who belong to him will rise in the power and the glory of Jesus. The agricultural image of first fruits is applied to the resurrection of Christ. Just as the first fruits offering represented the whole crop, so Jesus' resurrection represents the whole church. And just as the first fruits offering included the whole group, the crop, so Jesus' resurrection includes the whole church. The resurrection of Jesus includes within it the resurrection of his church in union with him. And just as the term first fruits carries a thesis, so likewise forerunner. In Hebrews 6:20, Jesus is a prodromos, a forerunner on our behalf. And he therefore, in Voss's language, not only opens access into heaven, but he anticipates in himself the enjoyment of the access that he mediates to others. Not only does Jesus open the path to heaven, he enjoys heaven itself. And that joy is communion with the Father in the glory of the Spirit in the heaven temple devoted to the worship of the triune God. And he mediates that enjoyment to his church as forerunner. He takes what is his, filled with pleasure and joy forever at the right hand of God, and he mediates that to his church. He opens the path to the joy of heaven, and he mediates to his church the joy of heaven here and now. That includes bringing many sons to glory, 2:10, bringing and conferring many in rest, 4:3. Jesus has entered heaven in order to open the way and confer the enjoyment of heaven on his church. That is his high priestly ministry, and that is the anchor for the soul and the hope for the church. And now, with that in place, then, we can begin to see this thesis. This is important to grasp. We can see that the first fruits serves the higher purpose of forerunner. For Christ, please hear this, resurrection life on earth serves the higher end of ascension life in heaven. I'll say that again. Resurrection life on earth serves the higher end of ascension life in heaven. Resurrection from the dead is the means to the end of life in heaven. And Christ enters into heaven not in his resurrection from the dead, but in his bodily ascension 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. For the church, resurrection life in Christ serves ascension life in heaven, and it is in union with Christ as forerunner that the church begins to taste the goodness of the life of Christ in heaven conferred upon the church in union with Christ. In fact, Peter, in his first sermon of Pentecost, applied Psalm 16:11 to Christ as raised and ascended. And listen how he did it. As raised, 2:28a in Acts, Jesus has been shown the path of life. As ascended, 2:28b, he has been filled with pleasure forever in the presence of God. The path to life is opened in resurrection. The filling with pleasure forever in God's presence is fulfilled in ascension. 1 Corinthians 15:20, first fruits of resurrection. Hebrews 6:20, forerunner of ascension and entrance into heaven. And it is there in heaven that Christ as forerunner receives the pleasure forever in the presence of the Father and mediates that to his church in two distinct ages. Again, Voss is helpful. Listen to what he says. In 620, Jesus' entrance into the place within the veil as forerunner marks the moment in time when he became genomenos, high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And here, as little as elsewhere, is there any reason for distinguishing between a Melchizedek priesthood and another priesthood in his case? What is Voss saying? Parallel to what we surveyed in Hebrews 1:4, the becoming of high priest in heaven pertains to Jesus in his personalized humanity, listen, entering into heavenly glory and sitting at the right hand of the Father and serving in the heaven temple. It is in the event of his bodily translation into heaven as forerunner that he becomes, in his humanity, a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, this does not teach, please hear this, that Jesus lacked the office of high priest on earth when he made purification for sin. That's affirmed numerous places, Hebrews 1:3 being one of them. Rather, it means that Jesus entered into the eschatological fullness of his high priestly ministry in the order of Melchizedek at the time point of his ascension and session in heavenly glory. The author of Hebrews makes this explicit as it bears on the church's hope. Listen, in Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. To save to the uttermost means that the church will be caught up to Christ in the clouds, there openly acknowledged and acquitted. We'll join with him in the judging of reprobate angels and men. We'll be received into heaven, fully and forever freed from all sin and misery, filled with inconceivable joys, made perfectly holy and happy, both in body and in soul, in the company of innumerable saints and holy angels, but especially in the immediate vision and fruition of God the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit to all eternity. And this is the perfect and full communion which the members of the invisible church shall enjoy with Christ in glory at the resurrection and day of judgment. Westminster Larger Catechism 90. You see, the beatitude of the church hinges not on the incarnation, contra Thomas in Rome, but on the ascension and intercession of Christ in heaven in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus became this high priest according to his glorified humanity in the event of the ascension and intercession. That, the ascended and interceding Christ, is the sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. That is what grounds certain religious hope for the church. That is what Jesus as forerunner has done as he has entered behind the curtain in the holy place for the church. And Voss says this, in 620, the author calls Jesus prodromos, forerunner, because as the first, he has entered into that which is in the veil, within the veil, and through that act of first entrance with his own blood, he's made it possible for us now to project our hope as an anchor of the soul into the same holy place hereafter to follow him in person. That's religious hope. Another way to put this in light of the book of Hebrews finds beautiful expression in 10:19 and 20. Listen. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. As we are in the wilderness, as we are strangers and aliens in the world, Jesus has opened for us right here and right now a new and living way through his crucified and ascended humanity. Jesus, by his blood and through his ascension, has opened a living way into the presence of God in heaven. As we come to him by faith, we come to the curtain by which we enter into the most holy place of God in heaven. The path to the holy places is opened by the holy curtain, the crucified and glorified flesh of Jesus Christ, our high priest, the minister who serves us. As we trust him, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, we are entering into heaven where he is, behind the veil, enthroned in glory, seated in heaven. He's the new way to heaven. Before his resurrection, the path was not open as it is now. Before his ascension, the trail was not yet blazed as it is now. He is the living way to heaven. Jesus, alive from the dead, is clothed in the power of an indestructible life, Hebrews 7:16. He has blazed the path to heaven, sits enthroned in glory, and lives in heaven that we might live with him in heaven. And so Hebrews 10:22 says, "Therefore, since we are in Christ, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." We draw near with a true heart renewed by grace. We draw near in full assurance, enabled by his power. Our hearts and bodies have been made clean by Jesus, that we might enter the holy place behind the veil where he has entered. This is the wonderful gift of union with Christ. In the wilderness, the church has one who has gone before, has opened the new and living way into the presence of God. Two texts that we've looked at reinforce this point. First, Hebrews 4:3, you'll remember, tells you that those who believe, present tense, are entering his rest. Hebrews 12:22, you who believe have come to Mount Zion. You have already, through the new and living way, come to the place of worship and rest, because you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Jesus, as forerunner, opens for us the basic character of redemption applied in the book of Hebrews. Paul characteristically speaks of union with Christ in terms of union with his person and reception of his benefits. Paul can say, "You have been called into union with Christ," 1 Corinthians 1:9. "And in that union, you are justified in Christ," Romans 8:1, "adopted in Christ," Galatians 3:26, "and sanctified in Christ," Acts 26:18. "You will be glorified with Christ," Romans 8:30. Paul also speaks of being raised with Christ through faith, Colossians 2:10. "Seated with Christ in heaven," Philippians 2:6. The author of Hebrews speaks of Jesus having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, and locates the application of redemption in finding mercy and grace in union with the forerunner who has gone before you and entered into heaven to intercede and bring you where he is. You see, the author of Hebrews tethers the application of redemption to Christ's ongoing intercession in heaven. The efficacy of union with Christ in his suffering and glory hinges on his life in heaven, hinges on his intercession in heaven. Because as interceding in heaven, Jesus is bringing many sons to glory, Hebrews 2:10. Jesus is bringing the church to Sabbath rest, Hebrews 4:9 and 14 through 16. Jesus is bringing the church to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem, 12:22. Jesus is bringing the church into the city whose builder is God, the heavenly city of God, 11:16, 12:22. Jesus is bringing the church to himself, the mediator of a new covenant, 12:24. Each of these activities frames the application of redemption in terms of a heavenizing movement for the church. The author of Hebrews makes this explicit. Union with Christ brings entrance into and conformity unto the things in heaven. It is an entrance and conformity by faith in this age. It is an entrance and conformity by sight in the age to come. Union with Christ brings entrance and conformity to Christ himself, who is the forerunner of the church. It is an entrance into and conformity to the glory and rest and joy of the Son of God as a high priest. And so the application of redemption in the book of Hebrews consists in a conferring of all that Christ has attained as forerunner on the church in union with himself. This is by no means to minimize his once for all work of satisfaction, propitiation, expiation, and reconciliation in his death on the cross, 9:26, 10:14, Hebrews. But it is to accent and even to center, this is the main point, the eschatology of redemption applied is nothing less than entering into the beatitude that Christ has entered as the ascended and glorified forerunner of the church. The application of redemption, then, consists in one grand two-age heavenizing of the church in union with Christ as forerunner. It is this, at its core, that gives the church an anchor for the soul, a sure, steadfast, certain, and infallible hope that where Christ has gone, the church will follow, because Jesus ever lives to intercede for his church. She will be saved to the uttermost and brought to glory and rest where Jesus is.
Thank you for watching this lesson from Reformed Academy. This is just the beginning. At Reformed Academy, we offer free, in-depth courses that will help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Join thousands of learners from around the world who are deepening their faith and engaging with rich, redemptive historical theology, all at no cost to you. Sign up today at reformedforum.org/academy and start exploring the unfolding message of Christ revealed in all the Scriptures.